Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy Super Tuesday, everybody. Great to have you with us. Awaiting some breaking news, perhaps, on the Big Ten. Going to be fascinating. We've asked you your prediction on what we're going to see here this afternoon. Are we going to get a complete Big Ten? Are they going to stick with their initial no decision? Are we going to get a partial Big Ten? Or, Merry Christmas to you and I, are we going to get both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 by the end of the week? Joining us right now is one of my favorite people in the college football media landscape. Her name is Taylor Gaspar Estes, and she is the daughter of Rod Gaspar, who was a member of the 1969 World Series champion New York Mets. She is a 24/7 sports staff writer and a Horns 24/7 managing editor, and she joins us right now on the show. Taylor, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. It's great to catch up with you.
Great to catch up with you as well. Can I get your prediction, Taylor, with those four answer choices? What is going to happen here moving forward, the rest of today, the rest of the week, your best guess? Are we going to get a complete Big Ten, a partial Big Ten, no Big Ten or Pac-12, or a full Big Ten and a full Pac-12? What are you guessing, Taylor?
Oh, I don't know. That's such a tricky question because of how much this has changed and flip-flopped. You know, I've been kind of more critical of some of the decision makers in the Big Ten especially because it just seems so weird how the whole situation went down.
It's haphazard, yeah. Isn't it? It's just been haphazard. The whole thing has just been kooky and weird, and like they come out with a schedule and then they're not going to play. Well, you just came out with a schedule. Nothing changed between when you came out. Like, what is the organization process over there? You know?
Exactly. Like, what? Yeah, exactly. And like what I've been, you know, I've kind of been critical of Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, and even Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, but they're two of the only Power Five commissioners who do not have previous college administration experience until they took on their role as the commissioners of those conferences. So I think that a lot of that is being shown in a lot of these decision-making process. And I think, you know, I made an analogy recently on Twitter. It was kind of a joke, but not really, because I almost feel like the Big Ten, you know, they made this big schedule unveil. Then it was, what, like 6 days later or fewer, they said that they were, you know, postponing the season until the spring. Well, then these other conferences, not all of them followed suit. And I feel like it's the kid that got picked last in, like, pickup sports, you know, that they get picked last. And then they're like, they're the ones that own the ball. So they're like, well, you know what? I'm going to take my ball, and these people are going to follow me, and I'm going to go away. And then they turn around, and nobody's following them. They just found a new ball to play with. And I kind of now feel like that's what the Big Ten is. They're kind of coming back like, wait, is it too late to be a part of the pickup sports here? You know, I just kind of feel like that's a perfect analogy right now for what's going on, because they're seeing these other conferences play. They're seeing that, and while there have been postponements, and all of the conferences that have agreed to play are fully expecting that, they are seeing that not every team is dealing with that. So I would say at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if there's no Big Ten, no Pac-12, to be honest, just because of how this has gone. But then it also wouldn't surprise me if they're like, all right, we're going to kick off the season like late October, let's get this going. So I would probably err on the side of caution and say there's going to be no football for in those two.
You're
conferences.
Still going no. You're still going no. Wow.
I just can't trust them. You know, I mean, they've proven the one thing that they've proven time and again is their word means nothing. So I'm kind of like, oh well, you know, I mean, at what point is it like shame on me for like believing that this actually could come to fruition?
Yeah, it's been a comedy of errors for the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and it's going to be really interesting to see what shakes out. They're revoting. I think the most unfortunate thing about this from my standpoint, Taylor, is just the only reason for the backtracking, for the boop, 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 the only reason is public perception, is PR.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, like, yes. They can say all they want, okay, things have changed, we've gotten myocarditis information and rapid testing, but to me, it just feels like caving to public pressure. And when you can't stand on your own laurels, number one, and if your laurels are wrong to begin with, number two, you just kind of, you know, you get no respect to me if you cave. Now, they should have played from the beginning, in my opinion, but,
right.
But you know, to just bow to public pressure and act like the picture of the virus has changed significantly in the last month is a bunch of BS to me.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, there's hardly any like facts that support that logic, you know, and so that's where it makes it difficult to honestly believe anything that they're saying. And the other thing, I feel the biggest, you know, I feel so bad for a lot of these student athletes. You know, I keep going back to Joe Burrow when he tweeted the day that the Big Ten announced that they were going to postpone, that he had tweeted that day, he was like so sad for these athletes because if he didn't get the opportunity to play his senior season, he'd be looking for a job right now. And that's the first overall draft pick from the 2020 NFL
yes.
draft. I mean, there are substantial ramifications that come from this. It's not only about, I mean, we all want to see college football played. Like, I think most people love the pageantry and everything that comes with college football. However, these are people's careers that are potentially being impacted by this decision. And the fact that the Big Ten Conference really has been kind of keeping their decision-making behind closed doors. We still don't, I feel like, know what actually led to them making this decision to postpone the season. I feel like that is just inappropriate. Like, we talk about, you know, these student-athletes needing to be paid. They need to be treated, you know, with respect and all of that. And it's like, this is the most disrespectful display, in my opinion, of what's happening with the Big Ten Conference.
Taylor Estes joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. To kind of provide closure to that discussion, Taylor, to me, let's go through the calendar here. What's the drop dead date in terms of when they could play? I thought it was going to be October 10th, because if you figure minimum 8-game season, right, 8-game regular season, that gets you to about December 6th, December 7th. Now let's assume that each team gets a 1-week mulligan where they can't play 1 week. That would get you to about the middle of December. Then you got to play a conference championship game maybe on like the 22nd. And then you got to be ready to play in the playoff potentially on January 1st. I mean, isn't October 10th the drop-dead date? How could they start in late October? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it will be definitely tricky because then are they expecting the rest of the Power Five conferences that decided not to balk and change course out of nowhere? Are they going to be willing to postpone? Is the college football playoff going to be willing to postpone? Or is the Big Ten, and I'm not sure what the Pac-12, if I know everybody's been about the Big Ten recently since they're supposed to announce a vote or a decision, but I mean, are they just going to be playing in a separate football season, kind of how they would in spring, and not be considered for a college football playoff, you know, title or anything like that? That's a good point, because it makes it, I think that's the biggest questions right now. If they could play this fall, is what's going to be the ramifications for the other conferences that stuck together, that didn't hide decisions from one another, that were in constant communication? What are they going to feel? Because comes a point where, I mean, you know, you may not agree with this, and that's fine, but like, I don't know if I would be cool if I was in the ACC, the SEC, or the Big 12 being like, sure, I'm going to cater to you guys after you did nothing to help us. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's going to be a tricky situation to deal with, too.
Well, yeah, because when they made the decision, all we were hearing from the Big 10 and the Pac-12 is, just wait, in a few days, you're going to be hearing every other conference fold shop, too, and that never happened. That never happened.
Yep.
We're hearing that from coaches, presidents, administrators. And then, you know, look, right now you have egg on your face, and they got to figure out how to. I don't know how they're going to get out of this, Taylor, but they, you know, apparently sometime between now and the end of the show today, 7 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to have a decision. And I for one, can't wait for this. Taylor, what happened on Saturday to the Big 12? The Big 10 debacle, look, when you go 0-3 and then the conference that you lose against gets renamed the Fun Belt, it's never a good thing when the conference has been renamed after they play you, okay? It's never a good thing. And so Coastal Carolina over Kansas, Arkansas State over Kansas State, and then Louisiana, formerly the team that I would call Louisiana Laugh Out Loud, beat Iowa State. What's going on there? Is there any explanation for those performances?
You know, I don't know. And honestly, Mark, like, I was watching these games, and I kind of went into this week expecting sloppy play, to be honest, just because it's been a weird off season. These are the first games that the conference has played. I wasn't expecting perfection by no means. However, I did not expect Iowa State to lose by 17 at home. And I didn't expect Kansas State to lose to Arkansas State at home. And I didn't expect Texas Tech, to be outscored by Houston Baptist 23-14 in the second half. I mean, those were some things where in Kansas, I mean, it's Kansas. So I could have been a coin flip to see who was going to win that game, in my opinion. But, you know, I think that it was just a culmination of, like, sloppy play, but also, especially in Iowa State's stance, I was really surprised to see Brock Purdy struggle the way that he did, especially if you watch College Game Day going into the game. I believe it was one of the Game Day analysts, I think it may have been David Pollack, that said that he believed that Brock Purdy was the best quarterback in the Big 12 Conference this season, and then he can't score more. You know, I mean, I think he threw what, one touchdown pass, I believe. So, I'm not sure there's an answer for it, but I'm also not sure I'm ready to sit there and be like, Iowa State's terrible, Kansas State's terrible, Texas Tech is terrible. I'm kind of going to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, and I probably sound like a Big 12 homer, and I'm not. But I'm going to give them a little benefit of the doubt to see how they can kind of turn around those week one upsets. And if we see that, you know, in the first games of the Big 12 Conference, then, yeah, then this is probably going to be an easy road for whichever teams decide to be the best teams of the Big 12, whether it's Oklahoma, we don't know what Oklahoma State is yet, or if it's Texas. But there were some head-scratchers. I think the biggest one, though, in my opinion, was the Iowa State loss to Louisiana. Laugh out loud, as you said.
Yeah, there you go. And it was just so weird feeling because they were only down 10. There's 2 minutes to go, and Matt Campbell wasn't stopping the clock. I was just like,
Yes. What
is happening here? Dude, you're down 10. You hold them to a field goal. You get the ball back with a 145. You score a quick touchdown, and then you do an onside kick. I was just like, to concede at that point. And Matt Campbell has a lot of fans. He's on every list of young up-and-coming coaches. I was shocked by that, Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. And Brock Purdy did not throw a touchdown. So he was 16 of 35 and
awful.
For 145 yards. That's
awful.
Terrible.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the quote-unquote best quarterback in the Big 12, then the Big 12 has some problems this season.
Brett McMurphy has tweeted here now that the Big Ten, if they announce the plan to play, the first option is to play 8 games in 9 weeks, starting October 16th to 17th. The Big Ten title game would then be December 19th, the day before the college football playoff final rankings. If it can't start October 16th to 17th, the Big Ten would push back to the following weekend, but then you have no mulligan weeks. I don't know. I mean, you can't, to your point, Taylor, earlier, if I'm the other conferences, under no circumstances are we moving December 20th as the announcement date for the playoff. You have your ducks in a row, you have your business in order, or I'm sorry, right?
Yeah.
We're not moving this for you. You guys have been delayed. You're lucky we'll take you at all. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I totally agree. 100% agree. It's like, I'm sorry that you made the wrong decision, but let's not penalize the teams that made, at least at this point, the right decision with proceeding with this college football season.
I'll tell you, it sure is nice to see my alma mater and the team you cover with all these teams missing from the poll. Like, what are we, fifth and sixth, Florida and Texas? It sure is nice, isn't it? Is Texas to you a bona fide national title contender? Really impressive week one performance over UTEP.
You know, I'm hesitant. You know, I've covered this beat for a while now, Mark, and I'm just too hesitant, and I've been burned too many times by thinking Texas was legit based off of one game. I will say that I really thought that Texas put together a pretty complete performance against UTEP. Sam Ellinger, you know, I think he entered halftime with 424 passing yards and 5 touchdowns. But, I mean, let's just call it what it was. UTEP was one of the worst teams in college football last season. I believe their 2-34 record over the last 3 seasons. So it's hard for me to anoint Texas as a potential college football playoff contender, especially if the Big Ten and Pac-12 do re-enter the mix. I do think that there are some holes on Texas's roster, but in my opinion, there's no reason at this point that Texas should not be competing for a Big 12 title this season. I believe that Texas has, you know, they're one of the top returning experienced teams in the country from starting, but also, you know, with Texas's issues last season, they were required to rely on a ton of inexperienced talent on their roster. So overall, the experience on Texas's roster is among the top of the Big 12. There is no opinion, or there's no situation, unless, say, you know, heaven forbid that Sam Ellinger were to go down or something like that, that Tom Herman's team should not be in the Big 12 title. And in my opinion, if Texas is not in the Big 12 title game this season, then people need to be questioning if Tom Herman is the right coach to lead Texas to a championship level program.
Wow, there you go. What was your take, Taylor, on how college football translated on Saturday on television, either no fans or limited fans? Just kind of your take on the feel of it all.
You know, it felt weird a little bit, I think, when games first started. But I think once they kind of kicked off, it kind of felt normal for the first time in a long time. It felt like a sense of normalcy was there. Now, if you panned under the crowd and there's nobody in the stands, or you see like the cardboard cutouts at some universities are doing, like at Texas, that looks a little strange. But I do think that a lot of the broadcast teams, I felt, did a really good job of amplifying the crowd noise for the broadcast, because it did kind of make it feel a little bit normal. I'm not sure if maybe they just upped the field mic volumes or what, or the crowd mic volumes, but I did feel that was a little, it was nice to kind of hear, you know, fans cheering and not just being a dead atmosphere. But it was unique, you know. I mean, this was at Texas, for instance, they're only credentialing about 14 to 20 media members per home game, because they have, their press box is pretty small, and so they have to, you know, spread everybody out. So it was weird, because I covered the UTEP game from home, because our site only gets one credential, where we normally have 3 people at every single game. So that was a unique aspect. I think I've only missed one Texas home game in the last, 9 seasons now that I've covered the program, and not being like in the press box. So that was a strange thing, but I did feel once the game got rolling, it did feel a little bit more normal, and I liked that normal, because I've been hoping for normal to come back to our country here after the last few months.
Yeah, same. And Taylor, I wanted to mention this to you. I'm trying to remember what this was you were tweeting about, but you had mentioned recently, and I was like, next time I have Taylor on, I'm going to talk to her about this. You mentioned recently that you posted something that resulted in you losing followers. What was that?
Oh, that's a... I was posting about 9/11, and it was about just how horrible the terrorist attack was in our country. You know, my brother is a Los Angeles County fireman, and so that hits home a lot, you know. And I mean, even with the wildfires going on in California, every single time, I feel like almost annually now, you know, I see things set on fire, and it hits home when you have family members who are first responders. So, yeah, I was tweeting about how we need to always remember the people that sacrifice their lives, especially the first responders. When everyone's pouring out of the World Trade Centers and these buildings that were on fire, they're the ones going into them. And I lost some followers over that, but I'm okay with losing followers over that, because
yeah, you know what?
Heroes.
I'll tell you something on this. They're absolutely heroes, Taylor. Anybody who paid the ultimate sacrifice and anybody who risked their life to go in and try to save people, I think those people are national heroes forever. But I will share this with you. The behavior of people on social media has been so weird like ever since like April, right? It's just been so weird. And Twitter has an analytics page. I look at it every so often, and it shows you like how many new followers you have every month. And basically, to you guys listening, your followers should essentially grow every single month, right? Because the people that are following you for a reason. They like your content. And then the goal is you just grow your web over time. Taylor, I kid you not. I had 2 months in May and June consecutively where I was in negative followers and I was tweeting. Okay. Negative followers. I think I was minus 40 something in May and minus 20 something in June. And I'm just like, you know, I'm looking at the other months. It was like plus 100, plus 250, plus 175, plus, you know, I think the worst one was like plus 60 something. And I'm just, what? Like, people's behavior during this has been so weird, and I don't get it. But I'm happy to say that this is the first month where I'm starting to see my usual growth again.
Hey, there you go. That's a positive. Yeah, and I think there's just been so many controversial and horrible things that we've seen recently, and I think social media is just the platform that people either want to hear it or they don't want to hear it, you know, and so if they don't want to hear it, they're going to unfollow you, and that's normal, but I think it's even more amplified when everyone's stuck in home, you know, and not really able to do much and be outside, so they're probably on, you know, social media more and more, and it's weird. I mean, I think that if I didn't have to have Twitter, I wouldn't, honestly. Like, if I didn't need it for work, I would not have a Twitter account because I just think it's a cesspool for the uninformed. But, I mean, it's just been a weird few months in general.
I think we need to come out with an ad campaign for Twitter, cesspool of the uninformed. I can't believe that we're not seeing that in Twitter's marketing efforts, Taylor.
Right?
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you, though. She is the managing editor for Horns 24/7, does a fantastic job on 24/7 Sports. One of my favorite people, Taylor Gasper Estes, joining us right here on the show. Taylor, thank you so much. Please stay well, all right?
All right, you too, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. Thank you so very much. All right, coming up next on the show, I am going to update you guys, just kind of a state of the union, where I'm at with Clemson and South Carolina. My feelings on everything. I'll update you next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to have you guys with us here on a Super Tuesday edition of the show. So I want to kind of update you guys just kind of where I'm at personally with Clemson and South Carolina. Okay, I just want to give you guys kind of a State of the Union address, how I'm feeling personally about everything having to do with each football program. All right? Just totally candid, totally upfront, totally honest with you, where I'm at each school. You ready? Here we go. Clemson, for me, I believe you've got to win a title for this year to be considered a success. And I believe Trevor Lawrence, in a moment of honesty, would admit this very same thing to you. We've taken some calls. I've spoken to some people who said, Mark, any year you make the playoff is a success. If the Big Ten and the Pac-12 play is making the playoff, making the playoff like winning the Biggest Loser. I mean, it's just it's a given that Clemson would make the playoff, right? You don't get bonus points in life for doing what you're supposed to do. You don't get a pat on the back for taking a shower, right? To me, this season, regardless of who plays, Clemson can only achieve success one way, and that is to win the national title. And I think Dabo agrees with that, and I think Trevor Lawrence agrees with that. Second point on Clemson, I think their fans should be less defensive. You guys are the lion. You are the tiger of the jungle, and you're concerned with the opinion of sheep. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it was the Clemsoning thing or what the deal is there, but anytime anybody is even constructively critical of Clemson, the fans go nuts. Like they absolutely go nuts. And it's just, you know, Florida fans are just kind of like, we're Florida, deal with it, right? And you would think at this point that Clemson fans would have that kind of aura to them as well. Like, you know, hate from other fan bases would be just viewed as a fly on their leg. It really is no big deal. It's really no reason to get worked up. Never let anybody take away your joy from what Clemson is doing right now, folks. Don't let anybody do that. You're watching something historic, and you should enjoy it completely and fully. And so anybody saying Clemson doesn't play anybody, they play in the Sorry All Cupcakes Conference, all that is true, but that's not Clemson's fault. All Clemson can do is play the teams on its schedule. That's all they can do. They weren't even allowed to play South Carolina this year. And again, that's not Clemson's fault. So no need to be defensive from the fan base. Just my opinion, outside looking in. Point number three that I'd like to make. My belief is that Dabo Swinney will eventually scratch the NFL itch. I think that is an itch he is eventually going to scratch. Dabo Swinney strikes me as the kind of guy that is going to want a new challenge eventually. If I'm wrong, it'll be because he wants to pass the Bear, he wants to pass Nick Saban, he wants to be the GOAT all time in college football, and he has a chance to do that. But my hunch is, seeing his competitive fire and his competitive nature and how competitive people need a new challenge every so often, my hunch is that Dabo is eventually going to scratch the NFL itch. And that's my feeling. What do you guys think about that, Clemson fans? Number four. I think this defensive line with Henry and Murphy and Brzee and Foster and Xavier Thomas. Xavier Thomas is out right now because of COVID, but those guys. I think this defensive line, not only this season, but moving forward as, you know, Henry and Murphy and Brzee all develop, those three guys could supplant what Christian Wilkins and Cleland Farrell and Dexter Lawrence did. I mean, we could be talking about one of the best defensive lines in college football history. And the fact that they play in the ACC is just unfair to the rest of the conference. I think that defensive line is going to be the calling card for this team as soon as Trevor Lawrence leaves the school. And I think it's going to be awesome. And then finally, it's hard not to root for Clemson. It's hard. It really is. The fans are very family-oriented. They're very, very friendly. You know, what Dabo has built is very appealing to people. It's, you know, it's built on love and caring for one another and commitment and so on and so forth. And it's a bunch of good kids. You know, when I watch Clemson play, you don't see a lot of late hits out of bounds. You don't see a lot of character concerns on Clemson. You don't see a lot of opt-outs on Clemson during this pandemic. And you know what that does for me? That makes me root for them. They're easy to root for. They're likable. Clemson fans are largely likable. It's very just a family-oriented, like a backyard barbecue kind of atmosphere. And it, they're hard not to root for. So, you know, very, very easily said, very easy to do. Your thoughts on this are welcome. When we come back, I will do the same thing for South Carolina, and I'll let you know exactly where I am on the Gamecocks. Right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, we are ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to have you with us. Check on the text line. A texter says, Mark, don't slam my Gamecocks so too hard, but I have to say your analysis of Clemson, I believe, was spot on. I'm kind of just giving you kind of a state of the union on where I'm at with Clemson and South Carolina football. All right? With Clemson, I said, must win a title for the season to be considered a success, not an ACC title, a natty. The fans should be less defensive, shouldn't get so wound up about every little thing. You guys are the king of the mountain in college football. Number three, Dabo, in my opinion, will eventually scratch the NFL itch. Number four, this defensive line with prospects such as Henry and Murphy and Brzee, these guys are going to go down as one of the greatest college football defensive lines in history, and it might be something that you're admitting next season or the season after, but the core of that defensive line is nuts. And then number five, to me, Clemson is hard not to root for. Hard not to root for. Family environment, and nobody opts out, and players love the coach, coach love the players. It just has a family barbecue kind of feel there. So that's where I'm at with Clemson. My general opinions about Clemson football right now, this is where I'm at. South Carolina is up next. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Number one for me on the Gamecocks. I want to root for them. I really do. And before you say to me that I can't root for them, all right, Rush, after all, in Free Will says, the band Rush, they say, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. It is good for us, it is good for all, for both South Carolina and Clemson to be good. It's good for Clemson if South Carolina is good. When you play in the ACC, you really need South Carolina to be good. And so, as a Florida fan, South Carolina, no offense, Gamecock fans, but not really a threat to me, right? I want them to do well. You know, I would. Clemson and South Carolina, I want them to do well. Florida's kind of Switzerland in this whole thing, right? So, but the fans of the Gamecocks make it really damn hard sometimes. You know how, like, some jerk guys ruin it for the rest of us with women? Like, in terms of hanging out with women, you know, many of us have to jump through all of these hoops, and it's because of protocol, and it's because of protocol from the jerks that the women have been exposed to. A few bad apples ruin it for all of us. It's the same thing with Gamecock fans. Gamecock fans are some of my best friends, quite honestly. Some of my very best friends here in this area. But the bad Gamecock fans are really bad. I mean, just really, really, really crappy. And you've seen the bad Gamecock fans as well fighting after games. They just... I don't know what it is, but they just want to fight all the time. And those fans kind of, for me, ruin it for the whole bunch. Whereas I'd like to root for you, it's hard for me to do so because of the bad apples in your fan base. You know, like, I always say to people, like, when my a friend is dating a girl, can you handle her on your worst day? I can't really handle Gamecock fans on their worst day. And there's been a few worse days with those guys. Number two, Gamecock fans need to up their expectations. They need to up their expectations. Nobody should settle in their lives. You can't tell me that it's okay that Missouri can fire Barry Odom after 4 years for having the same record that Will Muschamp has, but that same record is good enough for the Gamecocks. It wasn't good enough for Missouri. What isn't good enough for Missouri is good enough for you? Can somebody explain that to me? I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Don't settle. Up your expectations. Expect more. Expect better. I asked Chris Phillips of the Spurs Up Show. You guys know the Spurs Up Show on his podcast. I said, man, if I post this poll, just like we saw with March Mayhem, the Clemson fans kind of ruin the poll. So I can't ask this question. But I just said, I just want to know, because all you have are South Carolina followers. I just want to know, is Will Muschamp the right coach for the job? Is he the right man for the job? 54% in his poll, and it got thousands of votes, 54% said he's the right man for the job. That tells me, folks, that 54% of Gamecock fans are followers that just will yes-man everything that their school does. Because if you're evaluating that objectively, the 46% are right. So those 54% he's the right man for the job, if they decide to fire Muschamp tomorrow, then all those people would be also backing their school's decision to fire him. And I don't get that at all. I don't get that at all. Number three for me, kind of giving you a State of the Union address, where I'm at with Clemson football, where I'm at with South Carolina football. Number three for me, I think the Gamecocks can be better than people think this year. I really do. I think at a ceiling, 7-3 is possible. I think the floor for this team this year should be 5-5. I firmly believe, and again, this ties into upping your expectations, but if you look at the star power that is on this team, compare the top 10 players on the Gamecocks to the top 10 players on the Florida Gators, you do really, really well. And then you've got Pickens and Birch now on the defensive line. We're talking about Clemson's defensive line. Good gosh, folks. I mean, you've got a ton of talent there on the defensive line. You've got really good cornerback play as well. And, yeah, it sucks to lose Marshawn Lloyd, and that's awful, right? But I think you've got some punch there. And I think the expectations should be higher, and I think you can be better than what people think. Let's be honest. What do people think the Gamecocks are going to do this year? I think people think the Gamecocks are going to be 3-7. That's what I think people think. I think they're going to be at least 5-5. I think they could be 7-3. I think they could be a lot better than what people think, than what people expect. Just my take outside looking in. What say you guys? What do you think? Number four, starting Colin Hill would be a mistake. I don't like the message that sends to the program that you can just have a rent-a-player come in for 2 months and then win the starting job. Ah, but Mark Ryan, shouldn't you start the very best player overall? In certain cases, yes. In this case, I think you stunt Ryan Helinski's growth. I think you're telling Ryan Helinski he's not the guy. I think you're going to lose Ryan Helinski to the transfer portal if you do that to him. And I just don't, you know, a year and a half of hard work for Ryan Helinski. And because this cat, Colin Hill, is 2 years older than he is, he just takes his job. Of course he's better. He's 2 years older. How, you know, there should be a semblance of fairness to life, shouldn't there be? To me, anyway, there should be a semblance of fairness to life. And then, finally, my final point to make on the Gamecocks, State of the Union address here, okay, where I'm at with the Gamecocks football program, a national title is highly possible. I hear the laughter going on in the background from Clemson fans. You shouldn't. A national title is highly possible. You are simply missing the wrong leader. That is it. You are missing nothing else. yeah, I get it. The talent in this state, because of the archaic rules of the South Carolina High School League, isn't what it needs to be. This state isn't producing a high volume of 4- and 5-star talent when other states with less of a population are, Mississippi, Louisiana, etc. But the reality is Clemson has looked at that and said, okay, we're going to become a national brand. We're going to recruit nationally. South Carolina, with the right coach, could cherry pick the best talent from Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and then recruit nationally as well. And I think they could pull that off. You've got the facilities, you've got the fan base, you've got the conference, you've got the uniforms, you've got the swag, you've got Deion Sanders. There's a lot of good things that you have, you know, that are requisite to winning. And I don't, Alonzo, I honestly don't know if many Gamecock fans believe they can win a national title. But I'm here to tell you that at that program, your ceiling is unlimited. You have an unlimited ceiling. I wouldn't say that about Duke football. I wouldn't say that about Boston College or Syracuse football. I wouldn't even say that about Vanderbilt football. But I will say that about South Carolina football. You have the passion, you have the crowd, you have the fan base, you have the stadium, you have the booster support, you have everything you need to win a national title. You're just missing the leader. Okay, I'd love to get Lonzo's thoughts on this, and we will do that. Get your thoughts as well. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Your thoughts on my State of the Union coming up next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, Lonzo, I've given you my State of the Union for Clemson. I've given you my State of the Union for South Carolina. How'd I do? What do you say? What are you thinking?
All right, for the most part, I agree with you. With Clemson, I disagree about Dabo going to the NFL. I don't believe he ever will. I think he's going to stay where he is right now and retire as a Clemson Tiger. And as far as the Gamecocks go, two things. One, about the fans, that's only because you come across as being a fan of the other team. You say you're not. I'm just saying you come across as that, and people have billed you as that. So there's automatic hate towards you, which is going to make vitriol. And
okay,
it would
time out,
and
time
it would
out,
be the opposite out. If it time seemed out. Like you were more pro time Gamecock.
Time out. Do you realize I have heard the same thing from both fan bases, which tells me I'm doing something right? I've heard from Clemson fans, you're a Gamecock homer.
Yeah, but you didn't talk about how bad the Clemson fans are. You only talked about how bad the Gamecocks fan. You asked me how you did, and I'm telling you my opinion on it.
No, I'm telling you, I haven't had any negative experiences with Clemson fans. I've had very negative experiences with Gamecock fans. We're all products of our experiences, Lonzo, right? I don't have bad experiences with Clemson fans because they've been nice people to me. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's just we like who treats us well. It's the golden rule. But anyway, I want to hear the rest.
Is that how that works? Okay. And the other thing about the Gamecocks being able to win a national championship, I completely agree. They haven't reached the level of Vanderbilt, of Maryland, of some of those teams where you go, yeah, those guys will never win. But they're heading that direction if they don't replace the guy in charge right now. They will forever be in the lower medium, which is where they are now, as far as the rest of the nation is concerned. They need to get rid of this guy. They need to bring in somebody who actually wants to win and strives to win and recognizes the talent around him and is able to utilize that talent. Yeah, he's a great recruiter, but if you bring the recruits in and their play goes down instead of up, the problem is you.
And Josh Pate, who joins us on Thursday at 4 p.m., his prediction for the next Gamecocks coach is Billy Napier from Louisiana Laugh Out Loud, who just beat Iowa State this weekend. That is his prediction. That's what he thinks. Billy Napier even said, this guy said, you know, why did you stay at Louisiana this year? He said, I didn't think it was time to move to the next job just yet. Boy, that's not exactly a glowing statement for his current employer just yet. Very interesting stuff indeed. All right, your thoughts welcome. The top five at five is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.